Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. Archibald Motley's painting, Black Belt, 1934, managed to do more than simply capture the ambience and tempo of Bronzeville, a predominantly African-American neighborhood on Chicago's South Side. Black Belt also made Bronzeville's performative and transactional nature palpable, especially in the years of the Great Depression, and in response to the mass migration of Black Americans from the rural South to the urban North. Richard Powell's talk, given as part of the John Wilmerding Symposium on American Art, American Communities Then and Now, held on February 8, 2019, recognizes Motley's place in the history of African Americans describing their lives and communities in art.
In the early to mid-20th century, Chicago, Illinois loomed large in the imaginations of African Americans. Unlike the similarly romanticized, predominantly Black New York City neighborhood of Harlem, Chicago's African American South Side retained a distinctive folk rural character and racial authenticity as compared to other northern U.S. destinations for Southern Black migrants. Chicago's substantial Black population and their close ties to the Deep South and that region's jazz and blues traditions ineradicably colored that community's persona. And in conjunction with a marked commercial industrial profile, an illustrious cohort of Black entrepreneurs, and an indispensable working class, reinforced Chicago's reputation as the other African American urban Mecca. Harlem's cultural efflorescence in the 1920s and 30s, which thrust into national spotlight artists like Duke Ellington, Langston Hughes, Aaron Douglas, and Paul Robeson, had an equivalent in the somewhat synchronic Chicago Negro Renaissance, as evidenced in the latter's creative contributions from Earl Hines, Richard Wright, Archibald Motley, and Catherine Dunham. During Archibald Motley's formative years, Chicago's African-American population increased dramatically, and he was both a witness to and a visual chronicler of that expansion. Motley's renown revolved around his psychologically penetrating portraits, as well as his colorful canvases depicting Chicago nightlife in and around 35th and State Streets Entertainment District. This talk uses Archibald Motley's masterpiece, Black Belt, in service to a creative, performance-oriented art-making mode that, one, contemplates the theoretical and artistic connotations of early to mid-20th century Black urbanism, and two, challenges or at least problematizes New York's gravitational pull in tracking artistic innovation and affect. Strolling past a diner somewhere in the vicinity of Cottage Grove and 35th Street, two young men in the middle distance in Archibald Motley's Black Belt narratively undermine the restaurant's invitation to drop in. Twins in their pursuit of purpose, like competing sprinters leaning into the finish line, they exemplified what it meant to move through the Black Belt. And so too, in a very different fashion, does the rotund woman in blue, ambling across the street towards a pink and turquoise twilight. As big and as destination-bound as an automobile's chassis, she metonymically substantiated the adjacent Fords and Studebakers, and like other visual aspects of Motley's Black Belt, she blended into the cityscape as only one can in a densely populated, metamorphosis-inducing environment. Indeed, despite the many visual details and particularities in Motley's Black Belt, one is hard-pressed to grasp more than physical generalities or social rankings in the depicted people. Upon arriving in Chicago and making one's way to the South Side, African American migrants from the southern U.S. could discard their countrified mannerisms and accoutrements, and like jazz age versions of Narcissus and Daphne, transform themselves, putting a new bounce in their steps and superimposing new Chicago identities onto a recent down south past. Archibald Motley's Black Belt is more about a processional style and its economic consequences than anything else. How else can one explain the stately traffic cop, the women in colorful, form-fitting dresses, and the men in jaunty bowlers and straw hats, the juvenile newspaper hawker, and even the bent-over man in black on a walking stick for support, painstakingly plodding through the crowd? The street is a stage, and similar to the items in the storefront's windows, the people on the street, for all of their bodily freedom and self-exhibitionism, are aware of the transactional nature of their Chicago lives. Whether sellers or consumers, to move through the Black Belt meant experiencing capitalism on a primal level, where the annexing of formerly white-owned businesses and the repurposing of turn-of-the-century brick-and-mortar edifices for new Negro intentions paralleled the public self-advertising of one's corporeal goods and services. Archibald Motley's titular invocation in Black Belt of a band-like geographic track of humanity defined as much by their socioeconomic status as by the race of the majority of its inhabitants within this narrow stretch of city blocks, made a compelling argument for an all-enveloping sociological interpretation. But rather than presenting a Robert E. Park-style study of impoverishment and deprivation on Chicago's South Side, Motley painted an ethically neutral territory, neither a romantic sanctuary nor a foreboding ghetto, but where life is what it is, and where African Americans stylishly, yet precipitously paced themselves on a street lamp illuminated urban treadmill. A pedestrian-clogged corridor featuring both material commodities and symbolic returns along its perspectiveless pathways, Motley's Black Belt, in spite of its social scientific allusions and Depression-era context, feels decidedly surreal, unconstrained neither by painterly illusionism nor African Americans' dire socioeconomic circumstances in the 1930s to communicate that decade's informational truths. Instead, Motley put an amber-colored gel filter and spotlight on the Black Belt's pulley-controlled, constantly rolling dais that, contrary to these painterly moves towards artifice, revealed the experiential conundrum of blackness in that particular place, time, and arguably beyond.
Got in my old Ford car.
Is that so?
Yes, but I did not go far.
Fifth, you had better not go down to 35th and stay no more. And I guess you want to know just why I don't want you to go.
Tell me about it, tell me about it.
They play all the time, and they all should have hubbies like I have got mine. Why don't all these girls leave married men alone? Oh no, they tried to break up some good woman's home. You had better not go down to 35th and stay no more.
Now let me ask you something.
All right.
Arnold and Irene Wiley's 1927 recording, You'd Better Not Go Down to 35th and State No More, begins with typical vaudeville repartee, a playful admonition, and then a rationale for the warning, which, if one listens to the ironic nuances in Irene Wiley's explanation and carefully reads between the lines, actually communicates a veiled endorsement for this infamous corner in Jazz Age Chicago's legendary Black Belt Entertainment District. That's not to say some of Wiley's audience did not agree with her literal statement. Experiencing the painful breakup of a relationship or feeling the embarrassment and the punch in the gut after someone rejects your amorous interests were clearly possible while perambulating and socializing on the Stroll, the local name for this popular area of African-American leisure along South State Street from East 26th to East 39th Streets. It's enough to give you the blues. Archibald Motley was quite familiar with the Stroll's cabarets, its vaudeville and movie theaters, the diners, the barber and beauty shops, the shoeshine parlors, pool rooms, and illegal gambling dens, and its houses of prostitution. And in his characteristic manner of carefully developing his compositions, he found novel ways of painting these enterprises and their patrons so that, as alluded to in Irene Wiley's lyrics, he used the Stroll as a symbolic setting for delving into the emotional and psychological dimensions of living in the Black metropolis. Motley's task wasn't easy. To capture Chicago's South Side and its citizens with all of their entrepreneurial verve and modern velocity, and simultaneously to visually grasp the more cerebral and evanescent aspects of this place and its people. And to do all of this with an artistic erudition and critical distance befitting the importance and novelty of the subject. Remarkably, Archibald Motley's Black Belt brought all of these objectives together in one comprehensive mise-en-scene, offering audiences an intricate but entirely cohesive and accessible slice of the Stroll and its myriad dispositions. Like a play's director who precisely blocks and charts where each actor will stand and each prop and theatrical backdrop is situated on the stage, Motley placed the figures in Black Belt for their maximum dramatic effect. The pretty girls that Irene Wiley warned her listeners about are there, as placed strategically across the painting's foreground, as well as the philandering men Wiley alluded to and the other pleasure seekers. Black Belt's revelers exuded warmth, sensuousness, and vibrancy, and the traffic light colored, body revealing clothing of the three women in the foreground indicate to the surrounding men to either obey, ignore their flirtatious street signs. But not everybody in Black Belt was completely in sync with everybody else's pleasure seeking uninhibitedness. The fat man in the painting's right foreground, his shirt sleeves rolled up, his hands thrust in his trouser pockets, and his balding head bowed over in a brooding gesture, cut a distinctive figure in the crowd, neither communicating with anyone nor sartorially matching the others in the street. His dour countenance, situated in the midst of the warm conviviality and emotional connectivity of those surrounding him, cast a lugubrious shadow over the nocturnal scene and powers a mixed message of leisureliness and personal angst. Motley seemed to be suggesting that in the Black Belt, all is not mindless abandonment. And by making audiences pause to consider this scene's emotional low point, he interrupted the stereotypic narrative of a senseless, happy-go-lucky Negro quarter on Chicago's South Side and introduced an introspective and melancholy element. Scanning this scene's assorted activities and implied scenarios, one also takes note of another social outlier. The woman standing at the window of the hotel in the painting's upper right corner. The woman's details here are marginal and rather sketchy, and yet her compositional isolation and visual singularity from the other happenings in Black Belt made her comparable and, in one sense, a distant emotional companion to the predominantly placed fat man. Motley's deployment here of close-up and telescopic views of urban alienation and repressed desires have a voyeuristic quality, and in keeping with the idea of the city's spectatorial dimensions, Black Belt ventured into an inchoate yet congealing dialectical statement about the psychology of the masses versus that of the individual. In closing, Archibald Motley's focus on Chicago's South Side and its African-American life and culture has interesting parallels not only with the blues, but with another commentator on people and their relationship to the city. Around the time Motley was painting Black Belt, the German philosopher and cultural critic Walter Benjamin was working on the Arcades Project, a massive study about 19th century Paris and the cultural implications of the arcades, or covered passageways, which apart from commerce, offered Parisians countless opportunities for people watching, inadvertent distractions, and spontaneous encounters and liaisons. Benjamin's fascination with the arcades illusions to both interiority and exteriority, enabling a kind of liminal public presence for the flaneur and the surrounding street pageantry, matched Motley's boulevard obsessions, virtually comparable if not architecturally equivalent. Arguably, the now of recognizability, as Benjamin described the arcade experience, is enacted in Black Belt, where the spectators and the scrutinized ones perform similar acts of apperception and disassembling. Who would have thought that Paris's Second Empire preoccupations with optics on the streets and in the arcades would have resonances with Chicago's Black Belt, and as visualized by Archibald Motley, its consumerist ethic, its blues imagery, and the timeless allure of looking. Thank you.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.